tonight we are going to look at what people call contradictions in the Bible. If you would like a extensive study on every quote-unquote found contradiction, there's a book on my website, and this is the name. If you go to Nash Publications, then go to Bible Studies and Great Books. It's a book that's called Answers to 70 Apparent Discrepancies in the King James Bible. Apparent discrepancies. 70 of them. Do you see Romans chapter 12? Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, verse 3 has a phrase in it that I want you to take careful note of. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The faith that it takes to get saved, God gives you. What you do with that faith is up to you. You can put it in your church, you can put it in yourself, you can put it in money, you can put it in a job, but God gives you the faith that it takes to get saved. God gives that faith. Now, the issue that we're dealing with tonight, it shouldn't be an issue, but because of the internet, it is. This is amazing to me. When I got saved 32 years ago, when you came to church back then, if there was any preaching given out, you either ordered it on cassette tape or my pastor gave it to me. Somebody had like a bag of Dr. Hiles tapes or a bag of, R.G. Lee. I mean, there were several preachers, back then. The preaching we got in our church. If you wanted other preaching, you might go hear another preacher or something like that. Nowadays, I think the internet can be used for good. It's an object, just like a guitar can be used to play good music or bad music. It's not the guitar. If a person's dirty, when they pick up the guitar, they're going to play dirty music. It's not the guitar. Same thing with the internet. There's a lot of good preaching you can access on the internet, but there's a lot of junk that'll mess you up too. And I mean in a heartbeat. So now we're dealing with, and I think the Bible takes the greatest thrashing on the internet. Because before, if you wanted to find a book against the Bible, you had to know somebody that was pushing the stupid thing. Nowadays, it can come up on your screen, an advertisement for this or whatever. This is an issue. Listen closely just for a second and think with me. God never proves his existence in his word. He declares it. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change whether God exists or not. God doesn't say, please believe in me. God says, I'm the creator. I've always been. What you do with me is your choice. Think about this. God's word never attempts to prove to you that it's God's word. God's word declares that it's God's word. It's up to you to believe it. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change that. If you don't approach the Bible believing that it is what God has said it to be, listen closely, I've told you this before, but there's enough in the Bible to send you to hell. Listen to what I just said. If you want to approach the Bible with an unbelieving, critical heart, there's enough in the Bible to damn your soul. I told you before, God gives you the faith to believe his word. Go right in the middle of your Bible to Psalms. Go to Psalms 19. We're hitting an issue tonight called contradictions in the Bible. No person that gets saved picks up the Bible and is reading it for God speaking to their heart and never considers, well, that contradicts with this other part. The only people that find contradictions, quote unquote, are critics. People that don't love God, people that don't want the Bible. But a Bible-believing Christian, when they open up their book, they're not thinking, where is it untrue? But I'll introduce you to some men that are just like that. Look at Psalm 19 and look at verse 7. Look what God says his word is in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, that's the Bible, is what? Perfect. That means without flaw. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, that's another name for the Bible, is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, that's another name for the Bible, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, that's another name for the Bible, is pure. That means without admixture, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, that's another name for the Bible, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, there's one more name for the Bible, is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Most of the contradictions found or reported about in the Bible are people who are determined that they're not going to believe the truth. They're because most of the contradictions are because someone doesn't either have a full understanding of grammar and reading English, or they have the mindset that God is wrong no matter what. Okay? Like I told you, they have a critical heart. Every list, listen closely, every list of contradictions and errors come from three books that were published by lost men 200 years ago in early America. There are no new lists of contradictions. The biggest list somebody will come up with is 101. Here's 101 contradictions in your Bible. Explain these to me. They all come from Ingersoll's book. There are no new lists of contradictions. Every list you'll find on the internet matches Ingersoll's book. Does everybody understand? In other words, they came across something on the internet that said the Bible's full of contradictions. They copied it, they pasted it, and then they sent it to everybody. But there are no new lists. And these people, I found a contradiction in the Bible. They didn't find nothing. They read a book that hates the Bible, but they didn't read the Bible. Books by James Randi. He wrote books, a book called The Faith Healers, Flim Flam, Psychics, ESP, and Other Delusions. He also wrote the book Encyclopedia of Frauds and Hoaxes of the Occult and Supernatural. He's like a Penn and Teller. He's a professional magician. But he's an atheist. So he believes he understands magic to the point that everything is all sleight of hand and there's nothing supernatural. That's how the professional magicians handle that topic. James Randi, he got a team and investigated a few of the faith healers in America, like Benny Hinn, and found them to be false. Went to the hospitals where Benny Hinn was supposedly healing people and found out that nobody was healed. James Randi reads the Bible like Isaac Asimov, Steve Allen, all of these people. They read the Bible looking for errors and things to criticize, and they're not looking to find God. All they want is to find one error. And if they find one error, that's like, see, nobody should believe the Bible. Then they get on their high horse. People then read their books that criticize the Bible, and like I told you, but never read the Bible. This is a reason that those people go to hell. Listen closely, because men love darkness rather than light. They love darkness. The heart is deceitful above all things, and if it can find a reason to not believe the Bible, it immediately grabs hold of it and runs with it. When men will gladly read a book that criticizes the Bible and won't read any material that refutes the critics of the Bible, that person damns their soul to hell. They don't want what's right. You understand? They've automatically set themselves, I'm not going to believe the Bible. They should never search the internet to see what God haters say about the Bible. They shouldn't. Most of the people who use a list of contradictions in the Bible are happy to have them and not get answers for them because now they have an excuse to not believe the Bible. That's the day and age we live in. I have found that things I don't understand and things that puzzle me and things I don't know why they're there, God gets the benefit of the doubt with me when I come to His Word. Amen? I don't know if I'll let you go to it later. We don't have time tonight. But Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law." There are things God has taught me since I've started reading my Bible 33 years ago. I understand things about the Bible now that I did not back then. there are still things I don't understand about the Bible. God's Word's eternal. You'll never understand it all. There'll always be things you don't understand. My Bible is bigger than I am. It doesn't bother me that I have a book that is superior to my intellect. That doesn't bother me. This is why you should read it again and again and again. Do you really expect to understand everything in God's Word? Here, let me show you something that nobody understands. Take your Bible. You're in Psalms. Go back one book to Job. Right before Psalms. Go to Job chapter 26. Look at verse 5. Dead things are formed under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Pastor, can you tell me what that means in the Bible? Nope. I don't have a clue. But what does it mean when dead things are formed under the waters and the inhabitant? I have no clue. And anybody who says they know what that means doesn't. Okay. I know more about things that are mentioned after it than I do in verse 5. It doesn't bother me that I don't know what verse 5 means. Here's my attitude. If I don't understand something, then it's none of my business today. I must not need it today. If I need it, God will show it to me. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter. So if I don't know what it means, it doesn't bother me. When God's ready for me to learn it, He'll show it to me. When God needs you to learn it so you can implement it in your life, trust me, He'll show it to you. Here's what's going to happen. The Bible is either going to change you or you're going to have the attitude that you need to change the Bible. It's one or the other. Amen? Once you begin altering and correcting the Word of God, then the Word of God can no longer alter and change you. I would rather God's Word correct my contradictions than me being arrogant enough to suppose that I can correct God's Word. You mean a dust ball like me, having grown as little as I have since I've been saved, is supposed to take it upon me to fix the Bible? Are you crazy? Right? Are you nuts? Take your Bible and go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 46, and we'll look at a few of these contradictions that I think you're going to find are not contradictions, if you can read. Take your Bible and go to Genesis 46, and then we're going to go to Acts 7. We're going to go one place in the Old Testament and one place in the New Testament. Let me say before we get started tonight, I don't think that every person that uses a different version of the Bible is lost or satanic. I showed you last week that the people that are behind the new Bibles, the people that are behind them and producing them, you understand, are bad. But if somebody doesn't use the King James Bible, that doesn't mean they love Satan and hate God and are demon-possessed and all that stuff. Don't think that. I believe that the men that are behind the new Bibles are corrupt, but the people that use them are just doing what they've been taught and using what they were given. There are sincere people that use different Bible versions that just need to be taught. Don't be mean to people that use different versions of the Bible. I'd hate to think that someone was more Christ-like that used an NIV than someone who used a King James Bible. Think about what I said. I don't believe you're lost if you weren't saved reading the scriptures of the King James Bible. There's enough in the NIV for you to get saved. It takes the gospel to get saved, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You're saved. There are people who read the... Okay, now let's go to the opposite. There's people that read the King James Bible that aren't saved. Look at Genesis chapter 46. Look at verse 24. Let's just read three verses here. Chapter 46, verse 24. I'm sorry, let me start here at verse 26, all right? All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives... All the souls were 66. We don't use score anymore, but how much is a score? 20. So 60. 66 would be how many people? 66. So it says the people in Genesis, it says besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. So that'd be 70. Now look in your Bible at Acts chapter 7. And let's look at what somebody called a contradiction. Acts chapter 7, and look at verse 13. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. Okay, let's do the math on this. 60 plus 15 is how many? 75. So somebody read this and they said, Genesis 49 says 66 people and Acts 7 says 75 people. Oh, that's a contradiction in the Bible. This is one of the first ones that you hear about. If they would just read, go back to Genesis and let's look at it. Ready? Go back to Genesis 46, verse 26 says this. Okay, Genesis 46 and verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, notice what's right after that comma, besides Jacob's sons' wives. So what Acts chapter 7 gives you is the grand total that came was 75 people. Genesis gives you the total minus the men's wives. That's why you have 75 and 66. The reason many of the contradictions that we're going to look at is because people don't think about what they're reading. They don't understand where the commas come in, and people literally are getting dumber, and the public school is dumbing people down. It doesn't teach them how to read. That's basic English. Let's look at another one. Take your Bible and go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 25. Ready? Numbers chapter 25. I love this statement. There are no contradictions in your Bible. The words of the Lord are pure words. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's wrong with people that read the Bible. But there's nothing wrong with your Bible. You can trust every word if you have a King James Bible. Look at Numbers chapter 25. Look at verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Can I just point out to this? In the Bible, from cover to cover, when a man joins himself to a woman who worships another god, the woman always turns the man from the true God to her God. Every time. That's why the young men better marry someone that loves the Lord Jesus with all their heart, or that girl is going to turn your heart after her gods and what she thinks is important. You better have more, your eyes on more than her looks. There's some witches with hearts of stone. But man, they're pretty to look at, but their heart's nasty. Be careful. Look here at verse 3. It says, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Notice verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. God said, cut their heads off. Aren't you glad we're living in the New Testament? Amen? Aren't you glad we're living in the New Testament? God said, cut their heads off. Verse 5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his man that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. And in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman threw her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Notice verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So 24,000 people died because of this sin that they did against God. Now let's look at it in the New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 8. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. This is in reference to Numbers 25. Listen. And fell in one day 23,000. So in Numbers 25 it says 24,000 people died because of the plague. But in 1 Corinthians 10 it says 23,000 died in one day. Once again, in Numbers 25, the grand total, there's no contradiction. Numbers 25 is the grand total. At the end of the day, 23,000 people had died. But there were some still lingering from the plague who would die. 1,000 more would die the next day. So total in Numbers 25 is 24,000. But in 1 Corinthians 10:8 it says 23,000 died in one day, the first day. Okay? But people will grab hold of that and say, and look, what you'll learn about the contradictions, the list of contradictions, it always includes numbers of battles and deaths. It's numbers. It's not different statements. It's always about, well, this many died in this battle and this many died, so what's the difference? And that's the whole list of, but let's go a few, go with a few more here. Ready? Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Once again, we're hitting this topic once. If you need more material on it, I have a book on it. It's very exhaustive. There's only 4 out of the 70 that are in the Bible, number differences like what we're looking at tonight, there's only 4 that cannot be explained. Okay? There's 4 that men who love God just approached it and they just said, can't figure it out. I guess we'll just have to wait till we get to heaven. And if God thought it was a big deal, He would have fixed it. Amen? Don't get too concerned about things God's not worried about. Amen? If God put it in His Word, then leave it alone. Amen? All right? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. Watch this. Look at verse 5. 1 Samuel 28, verse 5. It says, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Now you have to notice the words here. Watch what you're reading. Verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in it. In other words, they were looking for a witch, right? A demon-possessed woman. So Saul asks of the Lord, God doesn't answer him, and then he says, I need to... Okay, and it plainly says how come Saul dies. You're in 1 Samuel, go over several books now to 1 Chronicles. We're staying in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And look at verse 13. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire in. If you just stopped right here, you know, a practical application, no Christian's supposed to pay attention to the horoscope. That's witchcraft. Oh, I'm Sagittarius, or I'm Virgo, or I'm Pisces. That's witchcraft. A Christian should have nothing to do with that garbage. Yeah, now I have family members that check the horoscope, and if it says don't leave your house today, yeah, they don't go to work. It's stupid. Nothing. It's kooky what people let control their lives. Palm readers, psychics, horoscopes, that's all. It's witchcraft, and a Christian is not supposed to have anything to do with that garbage. No one is supposed to control your life but the Lord. But you're not supposed to get your marching order from the stars. You know, watch out tonight. You know, Brother Doggett and I, we were out last night, and he said, look at the stars. Yeah, it was beautiful last night, but you're not supposed to go out to the stars and go, oh, I'm getting vibes from the cosmic order here, and the vibes are telling me. That's kooky. He wasn't doing that. It was a pretty night last night. It was gorgeous. But we don't worship the stars. That's what witches do. Do you know what the word pagan mean? It means worshiper of nature. That's why the witch covens are in the woods. They worship the trees and the grass and the 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Ready? We read verse 13. Look at verse 14. Watch. It says, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So, in 1 Samuel 28, it says, Saul inquired of the Lord. And then in 1 Chronicles 10, it says, he inquired not of the Lord. So people will say, 1 Samuel 28 and 1 Chronicles 10, there's a contradiction. What we read in 1 Samuel chapter 28, listen, it said this. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Then said Saul unto his servants, I want a witch. Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit that I may go to her and inquire of her. All 1 Chronicles did was just summed it up. Everybody see that? There's no contradictions in your Bible. There's no contradictions, but somebody will grab hold of this. Let's look at another one here. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and then we'll go to Luke 3. Okay? This gets so kooky. I don't mind helping people who've been poisoned by people that hate the Bible. But when somebody, I've learned this as a pastor, if somebody hates God, you can't talk them. That's their choice. I just don't believe in God and stuff. That's fine. That somebody, I was soul winning with one man, and one guy said, I don't believe in God. He just looked right at him. Well, he was a good soul winner. He just looked right at the guy. He said, well, somebody's got to go to hell. Might as well be you. Walked away. He knew there was nothing he could do with that person. You can't argue for God. You're a witness for God. You understand? And when somebody's dead set, like some of the nasty people that, there are some nasty people out there, homosexuals and filthy animals like that. If they want help, I'll help them. But when they're dead set against God, it's like, yeah, you're on your way to hell. And when you're ready to change that, come and see me. I'll help you. I'll show you how to get saved. And I'll be praying for you too, by the way. But I can't, you understand, I can't talk somebody into what's right. They've already made their choice because of the stinking movies they've watched and all that other garbage. Look at Genesis 11, verse 12. Ready? And Arphaxad lived 35 years, so 35 years, and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, go to Luke chapter 3. Nobody ever read Genesis 11 and said, the Arphaxad genealogy in Luke 3, I believe, is messed up. Hark, there must be a contradiction. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Ready? Verse 35. Luke chapter 3 and verse 35. Now, if you look at verse 35, it says, which was the son of Sarek, which was the son of Ragal, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Salah. That's what we just read, right? Then watch this. Which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad. So in Genesis 11, listen, and I'll explain it to you. Salah is Arphaxad's son, but in Luke 3, Salah is Arphaxad's grandson. Okay? Is this really a problem? They'll say, there's no contradiction, okay? The blood of the father runs through the blood of the child. So whether it's Arphaxad's son or the son before that, the blood of the father runs through the children. That's why in the Bible it's always the son of, never the son of a mother. Because the blood doesn't transfer, okay? So, okay, and to explain this, you're in Luke 3. Go back three books. Go to Matthew 1. Go to Matthew 1. Watch this. Okay? Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 1. Ready? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We all know, okay, it was Abraham starts the Hebrew race. Then it'll tell you, 14 generations. Then David is born. Then it's 14 more generations. And then Jesus is born. Okay? So it says, Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you're in the same genealogy, okay, I wrote this down. It is correct to refer to Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the son of David, the son of Abraham, as long as you're part of the generation, you're one of the sons. Okay? So it's not when it's that far back, yeah, you're the son of, we're all the son of Noah. Did you know that? That's where God started over again, right? Wipe the earth clean. We all go back to Noah. Okay? Ham, Shem, or Japheth. One of the three sons. Okay? But we all, watch this. We're all sons of Adam, right? The first man God created. Adam, Noah. Yeah. So to say that we're a son of Adam, in other words, does everybody see the contradictions that they're pulling out? They're pulling out little things that honestly don't matter. No, there are no contradictions in your Bible. There are no contradictions. I have tonight, I wrote this down. We're all sons of Noah. We're all sons of Adam. But best of all, if you're saved, you're a son of God. Okay? Tonight, we're going to look at contradictions. And next week, we're going to look at the Bible version, confusion. You want to see it? Okay. Take your Bible real quick. Brother Dog, this is for you. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In the New King James Bible, that they say there's very few, there's no changes in the New Testament, there's just minor changes in the Old Testament. In the New King James, you don't want a New King James Bible. In the New King James, it says, "The message of the cross," not the preaching, so they take out preaching, "the message of the cross is foolishness to them that perish." And then it says, "And to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I'm so glad when you place your faith in Christ, you're instantly, by that decision, saved. Salvation is not a process. Isn't that Catholic? Seven sacraments, right? And if you work your way through the sacraments, you're 10% saved, 20%. It's a process. The new Bibles and the New King James isn't the only one that says that. I'll show it to you next week. Version after version talks about to us who are working at being saved, the decision to trust Jesus. No, I want my King James Bible. Amen. The decision to trust Jesus is what saves you. There is no process of getting saved. You're not like 50% there and 60. I'm so glad God's given us the infallible, pure words of God in the King James Bible, and there's no contradictions. Let's end it tonight. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, I just pray that as the faith that you've given us,